Thanks, Dave. Morning, everyone. It's so good to be here. We're speaking this morning about the light of the world. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. And for those of us that are followers of Jesus, those of us that call ourselves Christians, church people, we believe in Jesus, we want to live our lives with Jesus. This is not just some kind of intellectual thing. It's not just some religious thing. It's not a set of propositions or principles. This is a practical, life-changing reality. So before I go any further and look at some scriptures with us, I thought it would be great to show a real-life example of one particular individual who has experienced the light of the world, who's seen that light make a difference in his life. But I thought we would do it just through the lens of the person that helped share and shine that light for him. Those of us that follow Jesus unashamedly believe that he's good news, that he can transform, he can change, he can open up a limitless world of possibility for every single person who turns to him. And so unashamedly, we want to share that light. We want to share that good news. And my main responsibility within the Woodlands group of churches, along with Kate, I help to lead the city centre campus. We call it Woodlands Metro. It's like Tesco's, but it's the metro version. So if you imagine, not as big, not as good, doesn't have everything, but it's in the city centre, it's convenient, and young people like it. But we meet in We the Curious, formerly at Bristol. And we've been going for 2 years, and last Sunday we had just over 200 people gathering together for our Sunday evening service. We baptized 6 individuals, and we got their stories. But I thought, do you know what? It'd be really interesting to hear the story behind the story. So one of the guys that was baptized was a guy called Jamie. Literally baptized him last week. He became a Christian here on a Sunday morning. First time that he'd been to Woodlands, maybe like some of you here, a little bit on the outside looking in. Someone that had been pretty vehemently atheistic for most of his life. Very aggressively anti-Christian, anti-church. Someone that had a very low opinion of Christians. And yet somehow he sees the light of the world, and the light makes a difference. The light makes him think differently, makes him ask questions in a brand new way. And so a month ago when we were doing communion, just like we're doing it this morning, he gave his life to Jesus. But this is a story from the perspective of the friend that introduced him to it. So we're going to watch this. It's about 4 minutes long. At the end, whoop, cheer, clap, kiss your neighbor. I'll come back and we'll talk about the light of the world.
My name is Andy. I'm a barista at Costa Coffee, and I moved from Plymouth to Bristol 6 months ago. And when I was looking for a church, I was looking for a place that I could bring my friends to. And I found Metro, and I found a place that I could do that. So I'd been working at Costa Coffee for about 2 months, and it was towards closing time, and a customer walks in and orders the most annoying drink on the menu. And it's just me behind the bar. And turns out his name is Jamie. And I get to know him a bit, and we have a lot of things in common. He comes back a few days later, orders another annoying thing on the menu. And from there, we started building a friendship. I remember saying, I think this is while he was on holiday. I remember saying, I'm at church. And he said, no, you're joking. I took a video inside Metro of the worship playing, and he was just dumbfounded. He didn't realize I was someone who would go to church. And it was something I hid. It wasn't something that I felt was even a topic of conversation. I just talked about it naturally, something I do on Sundays. I get every Sunday off, I go to church. And it's just something that came up in conversation one Sunday. So a few weeks later, we're playing video games in my living room, and I invite him to Metro, and he's seen from me how just one Sunday service can completely change me, and he sees something in that he wants for himself, because he has his own struggles, and he's seen how quickly it can be transformed just by going to church. So he comes along with me to Metro. Honestly, I've brought friends to church before, and it's like I've had to shepherd them through the whole experience. but after a few minutes of Jamie and being a metrope, I didn't have to introduce him to anyone. People just jumped on him, he made friendships from day one. People took time and care and intention getting to know him. And I'm really grateful for that, that I didn't have to guide him through that, but he got to experience that for himself. So he came to Metro that Sunday, and he's been coming every Sunday since. And he's so a part of Metro now. He's going to 2 Alpha courses, and it was only a month ago. We went to Woodlands in the morning and he gave his life to Christ. Last Sunday night, I got the honour of and the privilege of baptising Jamie, and I was actually shocked that he asked me, because I think I did so little for him and he thinks I've done so much for him. But I've just been living my faith, living my life, and he's an encouragement to me and to a lot of people at Metro. And it's great to see fruit from that small conversation we had in Costa. It's funny thinking back that how Jesus has used me in my job, where I am living, things that I didn't choose for myself. I'm now seeing why he's put me there. It's exciting, and it encourages me that in the little things, great things can happen, and just doing everyday life, I can be living the gospel and sharing it. Jesus is alive and he's with us, and we want to share the good news with people. Great things can happen, people can be saved, our friends can be saved, and people we don't know. So every time someone walks in the store, I'm thinking, it could be the next Jamie.
Part of the reason that Ed and Caroline have invited so many of their friends and colleagues and people that are close to them, family, to church to witness this dedication, when they could have kept it a private thing, part of their faith. Part of the reason is that all of us as followers of Jesus feel like we've seen some light. It's changed us. And so we cannot help but share it. And light is a wonderful thing. Light changes situations, and without light we flounder, we're in difficulty, we make missteps. One of the worst experiences of my life was when I was a kid, and it was to do with light and it was to do with darkness. I don't remember how old I was. All I know is that some kids came round, and they came with their family to have a meal with our family. And their parents were friends with my parents, and so we got together, we had this meal. And when the kids had all eaten their food, our parents said, "It's okay, you can go off, you can play, you can go and enjoy yourselves." And so me and my brother and these two boys, we went into me and my brother's bedroom. We were living in Africa, in Nigeria at the time. And we played like boys like to play, like Noah will play. And this kind of stuff is going to happen to him. We were jumping on the beds, jumping on the beds. And it was a long time ago, and we were fairly basic in our house. And the bed that I had was an iron bedstead. We're bouncing on it, and just bouncing and bouncing and giggling with glee and just laughing our heads off, just finding our entertainment where we could. And then one of the boys that came to visit said, "Hey, I've got a great idea." I said, "What's your idea?" He said, "Let's turn the light on and then turn it off and then turn it on and then turn it off." And so we just thought this was so thrilling. We were jumping up, and then the lights would go off, and then we'd come down, and then the lights would come on. And it was when the light went off, we're plunged into darkness, that I'm in mid-jump. And without the light being on, when I'm in darkness, I don't know exactly what is around me. I can't get my bearings, and so I miss my landing spot. And instead of bouncing on the nice, soft mattress with my feet, I bounced on the nice, hard, iron bedstead with my teeth. Only one tooth came out, but blood was everywhere. And my brother had to run in and get mum and dad. And thankfully, I was young enough that they were baby teeth. And, you know, I got over it. I got new teeth, but I never recovered from the trauma. And I learned a lesson that light and dark, they don't operate in the way that we traditionally think. You see, sometimes when we think about light and we think about darkness, particularly in the forums of religious thinking or about life, about morality, we tend to think about the struggle between light and dark. And we tend to frame light and dark as light is good and dark is evil. So we've got good and we've got evil as our kind of frame of reference for light and darkness. And we think the light is good and the darkness is evil. But when the Bible talks about light, when the Bible talks about darkness, it isn't talking about good and evil. The Bible says that what light does is that light reveals what's good and it reveals what's evil. In other words, it enlightens us about what is good and it exposes the things that are bad. And so in our world today, we're able to talk about light being shone into situations, light exposing the darkness, light enabling people to see. And when Jesus came crashing into human history 2,000 years ago, he said of himself, he said that I'm the light of the world. He says, everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be what? Exposed. But he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. And so when Jesus talks about light, when Jesus talks about his followers being light, he's not saying that, he's not referring to being good or pure. Those things are true. Jesus is completely good. Jesus is completely pure. But when he talks about light, he's talking about something that every single one of us wants. That every single one of us, in one particular way, we can almost fear the light. Because the light exposes things that are hidden. It shows them into sharp relief. And it also shows us the way to move forward. I don't know how many of you have been... I mean, the news at the moment, we follow the news that is going on. And it is just every day, more and more things are being exposed. More and more things are coming to light. More and more things that used to be dark, used to be hidden, are being changed. Our perception of people. So I don't want to get political, but he's not a politician. So Harvey Weinstein. Harvey Weinstein, someone who up to this point, many of us that love our films and our entertainment, look at a person like this and just think, a patron of the art, someone who has sponsored and nurtured creative talent in Hollywood. Now the light shines into the darkness. The light exposes the things that we wouldn't otherwise have seen. And now we see him in a totally different light. And the more that the light shines, the more that things that were once covered up are now brought into the open. Things that were once hidden are now made revealed. And it gets stronger and stronger and stronger. So actually, it is affecting our politicians. I read the news this morning and I read the news today, oh boy. I read about the politicians and I read about the scandals and I read about this almost a rising level of hysteria of what next, who next, what will the light show? Good and evil are revealed by the light. Even hitting other actors, people like Kevin Spacey, who, again, you have one perception of a person and then the light shines in and the light exposes the deeds that were hidden. And suddenly, as light increases, you see more and more things about this person's background, life, and personality. And his whole career comes tumbling down like a house of cards. See what I did there? I thought it was a good line. Was that a good line? I thought it was a good line. It sounded good at home. But Jesus said, this is what I do. And that's why some people wanted to suppress Jesus, because they couldn't stand the light that he shone into the dark places in our lives. And it's easy to point the finger at some Hollywood mogul or some gentleman's club wielder of power and say, well, shame on them. But when we think about our own lives, when we think about the dark corners, the things that we don't want ever to be exposed, the secret failings and frailties that we carry, the things in our head, it's fine to have things that you do expose, but what about the things that you think? What about the things that you feel? What about the things that you hardly dare acknowledge to yourself? And when we do wrong and when we behave badly, we don't want it to be exposed. We shy away from the light. But Jesus says, listen, I've come not just to shine a light into the dark areas. I've not come just to lift up the rocks so you see the crawly things underneath. I've not just come to bring an exposing of darkness. I've come to bring light to the world so that you see where to go. I've come so that you see things as they really are. I want you to see God as he really is. And so if this morning, if you're here and you're a little bit on the outside looking in, maybe this is the first time in a long time that you've been to church. Maybe the only reason that you're here is because of a friend or because of the dedication. And you're almost here on your best behavior doing, you're taking one for the team. You just need to know that what Jesus has for us is good news. Because we live in a world of darkness. We live in a world of confusion. We live in a world of moral uncertainty, not just on a kind of global level, but individually. How many of us, when we wake up each morning, we don't quite know exactly what our North Star is, what our guiding purpose is. We feel confused. We feel in darkness. And sometimes when life is going well and work is going well and family's going well and we're solvent and all these things, we can kind of trundle along nicely. But then what happens when the darkness hits, when the struggles hit, when the confusion comes? How did Caroline and Ed survive when they get that diagnosis? It's not just a headache. This is life-threatening. How do you handle it when year after year after year, the thing that you hope for, the thing that you want for, the thing that you dream of is held tantalizingly away from reach? All those nearlies, those maybes, those not quite, those things that didn't quite work out before Noah came along. How do you navigate in the darkness? And Jesus says, listen, no matter how dark your life is, no matter how difficult the situation, no matter how confusing you find yourself, I am here to reveal. I'm here to shine. I'm here so that you can be enlightened, so you can see. I'm here so you can see what God is like. How many of you, your view of God, if you think God is real at all, it's of some kind of stern, judging, cosmic PE teacher, gold tracksuit, whistle around his neck, ready to blow it, come down on you like a ton of bricks the moment you step out of line, make you do something that you don't like, no pain, no gain. And yet Jesus comes in and says, this is how God is. God is like a, he's like a father. He's like Abba, Daddy, Father. He's like the father that always forgives. He's like the father that never gives up when the boy, when the child goes off the rails, when the child breaks his heart, when the child goes down blind alleys and gets himself stuck. This is a father that comes and rejoices and forgives and redeems and celebrates. His light. This is what God is like. God is not the vicious, vindictive judge that you thought he was. God is not the cosmic policeman. God is compassionate. God is slow to anger. God sees you as his child. And if you don't believe in him, it doesn't stop in any way, shape, or form the fact that he believes in you. And Jesus sheds light on what God is like. And Jesus, he sheds light. He gives revelation. He shows up what human beings are supposed to be like. He comes into a patriarchal, sexist, chauvinistic society and he says, this is not the way humanity is. This is not the way that people are supposed to live. This is how you live. dignity and value and worth to all. Grace and compassion and mercy to everybody, even the marginalized are drawn in. And that's why the scriptures record that even the people at the very gutters of society, they flocked to him. Why? Because they see light. They see this is what humanity is supposed to be like. He's fun, he's adventurous, he's unpredictable, he's gregarious, he's friendly, he's loyal, he is humorous, he's unexpected, he is the perfect human being. And when I see Jesus, I see what humanity is supposed to look like. Do you know what C.S. Lewis said? C.S. Lewis, the great philosopher, writer, he was the author of the Narnia Chronicles, The Lion, The Witch, The Wardrobe, all those other books, that series, and all the science fiction books. But this was someone who was an atheist for so much of his life. He'd seen the horrors of war. He'd been in the trenches. He'd come back shell-shocked. He'd seen the worst of humanity. He'd been through the darkness, and suddenly he sees light, a light that he doesn't want to acknowledge, a light that he doesn't want to own or confess. When he writes about it, he says, I became the most reluctant convert in the whole of Christendom. But the evidence, the testimony, the light of Jesus, it changes everything. And so C.S. Lewis, he once wrote famously, he said, I believe in Jesus just like I believe in the risen sun. Not just because I can see it, but because by it I see everything else. In other words, I believe in Jesus like I believe that there is a sun in the sky, because I can see that sun, but by that sun, I see everything else. And Jesus says, I'm a light. You can look at me. You can examine my life. You see that it makes sense. You see that it offers a radical alternative way, that it brings so much hope and so much joy, so much potential. But by the things that I say, by the life that I live, by the example that I make, you see everything as it should be. How we treat one another as men and women, how we treat each other as enemies and those that are on opposite sides of the fence, how he collapses all the walls. He says, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. He sets the world right back on its axis. And Jesus, at the end of his life, he's lifted up on a cross, the ultimate beacon, a light for all the world, saying this is what God is like. God does not condemn, but God comes to save. God would rather die, give himself, than live without you. And God is able to die, to be buried. Jesus Christ, God himself, living in human form, dies and buries and then rises from the dead. And Jesus is saying, there's more to life than you think. There's more to life than iPhones and Weetabix. There's more to life than the scrappy materialism that we see all around us. There is the eternal. There is the transcendent. And Jesus Christ, he beats death. He beats sickness. He beats suffering. And in our darkness and in our confusion, he shows us light. About 7 years ago, I was almost to the day. I was away. I was on a retreat, a spiritual retreat. Sounds good, but it just basically me getting away for a couple of days, which I like to do a couple of times a year, and just think about life. And the way that I do that is go for walks. And I was in Exmouth, and I go for walks. I walk for mile and mile and mile and mile. I walk out first thing in the morning, and I don't come back until it is the middle of the night. And I walk across the ocean, not the ocean, not that holy. Oh dear, I think that was Freudian. What do you call it? The shore, the seashore. I walk across the seashore and I walk across the cliffs and I think and I meditate and I pray. And this one particular day I had walked and walked and I was so tired, my legs were like jelly. And I get to the end and I'm close to home, but I've got two ways that I can go. I can go the long way or I can go the short way. I don't have the energy to go the long way. The thing about the long way is that it's now a dark night, and the long way is lit up. You walk along one of the major roads on the pavement. You follow the streetlights. You'll get home, but it's three times further than the short way. The short way is to cut through the woods. Now, there's a path And it's, you know, like a proper path. It's even been tarmacked. It's like a cycle path. But it is through the woods. And it's through the woods on a dark, dark, dark night when there's only a little tiny sliver of moon giving off the very weakest illumination. And I'm, you know, I'm a grown man. But I'm not afraid to admit a little bit scared of the dark and the woods, because that's where the trolls live and the monsters. And they stay away during the day, but during the nighttime, you just don't know what's out there. But I think to myself, I'm going to go. I'm going to go because I want to be the kind of person that makes courageous choices in life and faces up to the goblins. And so I walk through the woods, and it's dark, it's so dark, and I can hardly see, and I'm just taking it step at a time. I'm going so slowly. Probably I wouldn't have got back any sooner if I'd gone the long way around, but I'm going, and as I walk, I feel like many of you. As I walk, I feel the things that you felt time and time and time again. I feel lost. I feel a little bit hopeless. I feel like, do you know, my life is sometimes like this. My life is sometimes like someone walking through the dark, and you can't quite see ahead of you, and you don't know the path that you take. And so you don't walk with confidence, you don't walk with security, you don't walk with a spring in your step. You walk tentatively. You're worried about what's going to come around the corner. You're worried about what might jump out of the bush. You're worried about, are you going to find your way back, or are you just going to stumble off the path and be lost forever? And sometimes in life, we can go through these dark times when the answers are not coming. We feel the confusion. We feel all around us a kind of oppression, and we don't know exactly what life is supposed to be about. As I'm going through, I'm feeling these things, so I start to pray. I pray, Jesus, you know, right now, this is a pretty good metaphor for my life. Can you help me? What can you do? I need to be able to see where I'm going. I need to be able to see where I'm supposed to be in life. And then, this is a true story. The most amazing thing happened. I hear this almighty bang, and suddenly everything's light. And I look around to where the bang is coming from. And like I said, it was almost to the day. So it was bonfire night weekend. And over to my left, miles away, this firework arcs into the night sky, and it bursts into this starburst of thousands of little sparkles. And the whole night just lights up. And then immediately, it's followed by this volley of fireworks cascading, ricocheting off the night sky. I don't know what was happening in Exmouth that year, but this was like surely the greatest firework in the history of the Southwest. It was unbelievable, and it went on for about 15, 20 minutes, and suddenly, I can see everything. I've got light. Light illumination, and because these fireworks are so high and they're so bright, suddenly, it probably is an exaggeration when I talk about it like this, but it felt very real at the time. It felt like brighter than the day. It felt brighter than the noon sun. I could see everything. All the goblins ran for their lives. I didn't walk home that evening. I danced. I danced, and I clapped, and I whooped, and I hollered like a madman. Because I realize that in our darkest times, when we cry out to Jesus, he is able to bring a light that really has got no business being there. And Jesus said, I'm the light of the world, not just during the daytime when there's plenty of light around. I'm the light of the world when you need it the most, when times are dark, when all the questions are crowding in on you. I'm the light of the world. I'm the light of the world when you don't know where life is going. I'm the light of the world when you can't see a path forward. I'm the light of the world when you're stuck in this situation, in this marriage, in this job, and you just can't find any way that this is ever going to work out well. Jesus says, you look to me, you look to me, and I'll give you light of the world. In a moment, we're going to take communion, and communion is a kind of, it's like an afterglow of this incredible light that Jesus releases into the world. And communion is it's that glow that says, this is what Jesus has done. He was never more bright than in the darkest time, when he put his hands and stretched them out, was nailed to a cross for our sins, that he took the brunt, every force, all the consequences of my wrongdoing. Jesus was crucified for a million Harvey Weinsteins. He was crucified for me and all the wrong and the evil and the darkness that exists in my heart. He took all the full force, the fury of what brokenness and sin does to human beings. And he took it upon himself and he took its power away. And he shone a light into the darkness that I might never be afraid again and I might never be without hope again and I can go home. And Jesus is launched into the sky, the world's greatest firework. And by his light, I can go home. I can go back into relationship with God. I can find what my life is all about. I can find where I'm supposed to be. So I'd like us to pray in a moment as we come to communion. And you know, it might just be that for some people here, you've been away from church for quite some time. You've held it at arm's length. Maybe you got hurt. Maybe you had a bad experience. Or maybe you just let the habit slide. But like Jamie did a month ago in this very place, at this very table, you come forward and you're not saying you've got it all together, you've got it all spelt out, but you just say, Jesus, I want to walk towards the light. And I want you to give me revelation so I see things as they are. And you take communion, this bread and this wine, as a symbol of his love and his compassion and mercy and a brand new beginning for you. And for others of you, you might think, well, hey, easy. Easy tiger, steady on. I'm just here for the formalities and then we're going to have the buffet. And I would just say, listen, there's no better time to explore light. We have just in a month's time our suite of Christmas events. It's already that time. And if you go into the foyer on your way out, you can grab one of the flyers for our Christmas services. And do you know what the first one's called? Carols by Laserlight, which is a strange title, but it just celebrates the fact that we have a modern faith. We're modern people, and in a modern way, we want to explore that faith. But the next song that we have, the next service, is Carols by Candlelight, which says, hey, we're part of an ancient tradition, and we're connected with Christians that go back thousands of years to Jesus himself. And these are times to explore Jesus, light of the world, who shone into darkness, open my eyes so that I could see. So if you're here and you're intrigued and you think, it's Christmas, I'll probably go to a Christmas thing anyway, we'd love to invite you. We'd love to invite you to... I couldn't do that again if I tried. We'd love you to explore this wonderful, wonderful Jesus. But for right now, let's pray. Join me, let's bow our heads and pray. Lord Jesus, thank you that you're the light of the world. We pray, Lord God, that we would experience your light, your illumination, your revelation. And I pray particularly for those of us that feel like there's darkness and there's confusion and we're getting hurt as a result. Or we have less confidence in moving forward. We don't know how to get home. We don't know how to get forward. I pray, Lord Jesus, that you'd shine your light. I pray that as we walk towards you, we'd walk towards the light and see things as they really are. In the name of Jesus, amen.